From Colorado Public Radio, I'm Ryan Warner, and this is Colorado Matters. You're hearing a sage grouse recorded on Colorado's eastern plains, and this sound used to be way more common. Scientists estimate millions of these birds once lived in the Intermountain West. Now only about 100,000 are left. Well, a new study predicts that number could dive even further in the next two decades as oil and gas development intensifies in the sage grouse's habitat. The ground foraging bird is on a lot of people's minds right now. In February, the federal government will announce whether the animal's going on the endangered species list. That listing could restrict not just oil and gas development, but farmers and ranchers, anyone who makes their living in sagebrush country. I've got David Noggle on the line. He's a biologist at the University of Montana and co-author of that recent study looking at the bird's future. David, thank you for being with us.
It's great to be here.
Tell me why you decided, first of all, to focus on sage grouse in this study.
Sage grouse are an indicator of high-quality sagebrush-dominated grasslands in the West.
In other words, their health tells us something about the health of that ecosystem?
Yeah, they're sort of the canary in the coal mine from a sagebrush ecosystem perspective. This critter is called a sage grouse because it's dependent on every aspect of its life for sagebrush. It nests under a sagebrush plant. It raises its broods within sagebrush grasslands. And the only thing it eats in winter is primarily sagebrush.
And so it's a specialist in that way.
It's a sagebrush specialist that will let you know immediately when its habitat is degraded and when sagebrush is removed from the landscape.
And where is sagebrush country in Colorado? Give us a sense for the regions here.
Sure. Sagebrush country is primarily in the West. The largest populations of greater sage grouse are in northwest Colorado. And then you guys also have a species called Gunnison sage grouse.
So tell me more about what your study predicts.
Well, our study predicts that if we continue down the pathway of business as usual for energy production, that we'll lose somewhere between 7 to 19% of greater sage grouse populations.
And that's over a 20-year period of time?
That is over a 20-year period.
Okay. And how is it that you came up with projections for where oil and gas development would be, what business as usual means?
So we took where historically producing and non-producing oil and gas wells were located, and we developed a predicted layer for where future development would take place. And then we have all of the information on where sage grouse attend LECs, these communal breeding sites. And so we overlaid our oil and gas predictions on top of sage grouse population information and compared what population declines would be.
And what you found, of course, is that there would be a lot of overlap.
If we continue business as usual, there'll be declines between 7 and 19%. Essentially, what sage grouse like for habitat overlaps and fits like a glove where our potential for energy production is in the West.
What is it about energy production in particular that the sage grouse, I mean, I'm going to put it not like a scientist, don't like?
Well, females imprint on these areas where they were born and where they've raised young. And so adult females stay in gas fields, but they die at higher rates where their young that haven't imprinted leave the gas fields. What we don't know is whether those young birds that move into undeveloped habitats, if they produce young there or if they die.
So it's really, it's like loyalty to a place.
It really is. And when you lose a portion of habitat, you essentially lose a portion of the population.
Got it.
They're not very adaptive. And it's sort of a story of death by a thousand cuts. A few more hit power lines, a few more get hit on the roads, a few more are unable to raise broods. Any one of those single factors probably isn't a big deal. But when you add them all up, it's a severe population decline from cumulative effects.
Because when oil and gas drilling moves into an area, you obviously have all kinds of traffic and all kinds of infrastructure that's built around that.
It's not just the well or the noise, but roads and power lines and compressor stations and removal of sagebrush for pipelines.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and David Noggle's our guest. He's a biologist at the University of Montana, and he's co-author of a new study that looks at the future of the sage grouse in the West if oil and gas development continue at the pace that they're currently at. So are these two irreconcilable forces? In other words, the needs of the sage grouse and the needs of human energy?
I think the more that we learn about how picky this critter is, that we're going to have to do landscape planning and figure out where we want to have sage grouse and where we want to have energy development to secure our energy future in the U.S.
I suppose that would be part of the question if, and it's a big if, the sage grouse were listed as an endangered species.
We are going to find out in February what the U.S. Fish and Wildlife decides from a listing perspective.
So is it that you hope that this study influences that decision, or, you know, who do you hope reads this?
I hope that it's everyone from energy developers to conservationists to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, so that as we come together as a group to secure our energy future, but also to conserve our natural resources, that we have the best information available to make the best decision we can.
May I ask if you've gotten response from the oil and gas industry at this point?
No, not at this point, but I do interact often with them at conferences and talks and that type of thing.
If the sage grouse were to become an endangered species, were to be listed as that, would it change the future that you're predicting?
It would all depend on what the response was in terms of the amount of development and where it went down on the landscape. I don't think most people in the West want to see sage grouse listed because it would have enormous impacts on energy development, cattle grazing on public lands. And so I think the prudent approach would be to make good large-scale decisions so that we can balance different resource needs for energy development and wildlife conservation.
I want to mention that scientists from two environmental groups, the Audubon Society and the Nature Conservancy, also contributed to this study. And may I ask if it has an agenda, if it sought to prove a point?
I think that we asked applied questions so that we could evaluate in an unbiased manner what the effects of future development are going to bring for this critter.
When you say applied questions, clarify that for me.
Well, there's basic science that doesn't seek any specific answer to a management or policy issue. And then there's applied questions that obviously ask something that is going to have implications to natural resources. This was clearly an applied piece of research.
Is there a way to tap energy in the regions with sage grouse that does not disturb them as much? Could that be part of the answer here?
So we've done work looking at the effects of drilling to populations by looking at the number of wells drilled per square mile. And that research does show that the fewer number of well heads and the less infrastructure, that if we did things like directional drilling, we could get the gas out and have less impacts on populations.
Directional drilling is essentially the idea of from one well pad drilling at an angle and getting to all kinds of places out from there rather than building three or four pads.
That's right. Doesn't work if the gas is shallow a lot of times, but if it's deeper conventional gas, a lot of times you can do that. But it is more expensive from a energy production standpoint.
Well, David, thank you so much for guiding us through this.
I appreciate your time.
David Noggle is a biologist at the University of Montana. He's co-author of a recent study on sage grouse and oil and gas drilling in the West. It appears in the journal Public Library of Science 1. And thanks to audio ecologist Gordon Hempton for the sage grouse sounds you heard at the beginning.